the readings of today, which were basically the readings of last Sunday's High Mass in the Gregorian Rite, in that sense you feel, at least I feel, like I'm playing checkers this Sunday and that Sunday and this Sunday and that Sunday. But that's the way it is when you have a bi-ritual parish. They particularly point out to us, on the one hand, beginning with the book of the prophet St. Isaiah, and of course the gospel itself too, but not quite as easily understood, about the church. The church, which is the mountain of the Lord, to whom all peoples are invited. Now, of course, many are called, few are chosen. We must always remember that. And there on this mountain, the church, a feast of rich food and choice wines. And it's interesting how Isaiah says it twice, choice wines. He must have loved wine. And God alone knows what kind of wine they had. Definitely nothing that we have today. Perhaps something much better. And there, the Lord invites all nations to come. At the same time, he tells us that there he will destroy the veil that covers all peoples. And all people who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, that do not have the true faith, and there is only one true faith, just as there is only one true church, and not any other. And that is the constant millennial teaching of the church, no matter who else says otherwise. He will destroy the veil. That means it is as if they were blind, like the prophet Job, whose eyes were covered because the dung of the birds fell on his eyes as he fell asleep on the edge of his house. And the acid from the dung blinded him. And it was not until the angel came and healed him that he was not able to see. Of course, we see the same thing in the book of St. Tobias. And it was the archangel St. Raphael who healed him. St. Raphael, the medicine of God, who also was the exorcist. He freed his son's intended, his fiancée, from the devil that possessed her. And so he is very much called upon in times of demonic possession and obsession and infestation, which is everywhere today. So he destroys the veil that covers the eyes of those people. He also says that the evil that covers people who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, that will be wiped away, and along with that, the tears from every face. God will provide in his holy church. And so St. Isaiah finishes this particular pericope saying, "This is the Lord for whom we looked. He is bound here in his one holy Catholic and apostolic church," which reading is all about. "Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us," because this is what it is all about. For the hand of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit. In the sequence of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is called the finger of God. And our Lord uses that term. If it is by the finger of God that I heal, then why do you condemn me? The Holy Spirit, the hand of God, the finger of God. And then in the gospel, we have something very appropriate, especially around these parts. The many were invited, and though many did attend, not everyone that was invited did attend. So we rejoice in the wonderful feast that we had yesterday in honor of our patroness, Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the Lord invites everyone, at first only a few chosen ones, as it was, to the feast of his son's wedding. And of course, the wedding of the Lamb is the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And a lot of the people who were invited had all kinds of excuses why they could not come. And the Lord was furious. Now those people also did violence to the messengers of God, to the prophets. For this has been going on for thousands of years now. And it's still going on 2,000 years after the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah. And not only did they kill the prophets, they killed the Messiah himself, the heir to the kingdom. But that was last week's gospel. This week it reminds us of the fact that the King, God, grew furious at them. This is what we call the wrath of God, the anger of God, which is manifested in time, not in heaven. And they were destroyed, and their cities were burnt. So many things that have happened in 2,000 years that should remind us of this. He destroyed those murderers and burned their city, such as it was in Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. The murderers of his son and of his apostles, many of them. But those who were invited were not worthy to come. And the first who were invited were the Jews. And as Paul laments, they did not come. They chose not to come. They had better things to do. They refused to believe. They refused to be enlightened, to take the veil off their eyes. And then the Lord, the King, said to the servants, "Go and get everybody. Fill up the wedding feast, both good and bad." And of course, both good and bad people are invited to the church. Some are better than others. Of course, nobody is good except God alone. Our Lord said that. Because at the very least, there is original sin, which is mortal sin, which, if one does not receive baptism, condemns us to eternal hell. Then there are the actual sins that everyone commits every day. Some of them, sadly and unfortunately, mortal sins. And so they too condemn to eternal hell. So the good and the bad are invited. And many came, but there was one. Now, of course, in this day and age, I wish it was just one. If you go to most parishes where the sacrifice is not really observed, where the Mass has become like some kind of a party or a birthday cake, then you will see many people come unworthily dressed, not only on the outside, and of course that is why we do have a dress code, and we aim to keep it without necessarily insulting anyone. But people are insulted by the truth. You don't have to insult them. They are insulted by themselves, by their own conscience, by the truth. And so the God, the King, comes to the wedding feast and sees this man dressed not properly. And he says, "How is it that you are here dressed like this?" And you know, you have to have common sense and how one enters the house of God, the presence of God. This is truly, though it is not entitled and we have not paid anyone thousands and thousands of dollars to be entitled, as some others have. Though it is not called a basilica, it is a basilica, because basilica means the throne room of God. And who is here on his throne? Is this God any less than anywhere else where he is found in a tabernacle in some other church that is entitled? Not at all. And so, this is the throne room of God. How dare you, says the king, enter into this wedding feast not properly dressed? And then he commands the servants, bind him hand and foot. That is a very, very serious punishment. And throw him out into the darkness outside, which means throw him into hell. That's what that means. Hell. Where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And then our Lord, and he's the one saying this, repeats once again, many are invited, but few are chosen. We must remember this, unless our fate be as bad as this unworthily clad guest, and we be thrown out into the darkness outside, into the horrors of eternal damnation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.